The Level Down Games podcast for August 17th, 2021 is presented by leveldowngames.com. Dark days and dark skies. This is the Level Down Games podcast. Welcome home. For the uninitiated, the LDG podcast is a weekly midnight society campfire meeting amongst the crew at Level Down Games. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and joining me on the show this evening, catch him over at twitch.tv/crazed11. Freshly shaved, it's Dan.
What is going on? Yeah, it's still getting used to the freshly shaved. It's still getting used to that. I am growing something back out. It just might not be a full beard, but it's going to be a little bit of a different look.
Are you going back to a full beard eventually?
I think so. Right now, I'm just going to be rocking some crazy-ass sideburns and
just
a
playing
goatee.
Around with it, doing some stuff you've never
something
done.
Something different, right? You got to just change it up a little bit, so.
You know, I've been kind of in a rut lately, and I've got a lot of shit going on. I've actually been thinking of doing something similar to my hair, so.
Yeah, see? Just whatever, like, makes you feel better. And this
I don't
just...
want to cut it. See, that's the thing. I don't want to cut my hair off because long hair is so who I am and such a big part of me. But I think I kind of want to do something different with it, and I just don't know what that is yet, so I got to figure that out.
Yeah. No, I mean, it helps. Just doing something different like that, it does help sometimes, just your appearance.
Yeah, I got to figure something out.
Yeah, do it.
And a little later on the show, during What's New With You, we also will have a brief appearance by Kyle as well. We'll get to him here in a little bit. Special shout out to Midnight Playtime and Neon Dan over on Twitter at Neon Dan TV for providing the music to the Level Down Games podcast. Go check him out over on Twitter and hit up his Bandcamp at midnightplaytime.bandcamp.com to listen to more really excellent synthwave vibes. All right, Dan, let's jump into a little What's New With You. And what's new with me is that, you know, my life is falling apart. It has been for a while. I get it. I talk about it all the time, how many issues I have. And it's no surprise to anybody. And I don't like to kind of dwell on my personal issues. So I'm not going to get into things, but because of everything that's been going on, it's been just kind of hard to sit down and focus on video games. It's been kind of hard for them to keep my attention and for me to really appreciate them and enjoy them as much as I want to be enjoying them. Like, I'll sit down, I'll start playing, I'll be like, all right, this is fucking cool, take my mind off of things, and then 5 minutes later, my mind's right back on things and I don't give a shit about the video game. So it's been kind of hard to play things that are story focused or narrative focused or just anything like that. So for the most part, surprise, surprise, I just fire up MLB The Show because I could sit there and fucking do nothing and play that game and have fun. So I put a lot of time in MLB The Show. I won the World Series finally.
Nice.
So, mm-hmm. Yep. My catcher on the Indians in their second year. They did win the World Series. I'm now in the third year. Because I told you I was working on being just a power hitter.
Yes.
That second year. Do you remember what the home run record is for a single year?
I believe it's 70.
Is it 70?
I thought
home
it was 70.
Home run record thought season. It was 73. Barry Bonds in 2001. I hit 71 in the game.
Oh, shit.
I hit 71 home runs in that game.
Well, holy shit.
You're thinking of Mark McGwire. He hit 70 in 1998.
Okay, because before that, it was Roger Maris with 61 or 63.
Yep, and that was in 61. And then Sammy Sosa hit 63 in 99, also 64 in 2001.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sammy Sosa holds the record. He has the most 60-season home runs.
Oh, yeah, he's got 66 in 98, 64 in 2001, 63 in 99. He's got three of them, which is crazy.
Okay.
And Mark McGwire has 170 in 98 and 165 in 99. So these guys, and he has a 58 in 97. He almost hit 60. So these guys are just fucking incredible back in the day. But yeah, Barry Bonds, 2001, 73. I think I'm going to play through one more season because I want to beat Barry Bonds' record.
You got to do it.
And I know I can. I hit 71 fucking home runs. And my dude, my guy is so stacked. He's ranked 96 now because I've started over three consecutive times. Like, you know, first I was focusing on pitching and third base, or I'm sorry, pitching and shortstop. And then I started over when was doing pitching and first base. And now I'm just doing catching. So like I've played consecutively like five seasons. So my guy is leveled up to where I should be well advanced into the season. But because I'm not, like, I'm just cranking stuff out because and it's kind of fun that way. And I think I can do it. So I'm gonna shoot for 74 home runs. And I think at that point, I might be done with MLB The Show until next year because I'm getting a little bored at the same time of it. I've put like 120 hours into that game. And like you just after you have to, I mean, I guess I could do Diamond Dynasty or something, but I just don't care about that much.
Yeah, so. I'm a big Road to the Show. I like that, creating your own character, living vicariously through him, having the MLB seasons that you could never have in real life.
And it's kind of cool, though, because they did just add like the game from earlier this week. They added the Field of Dreams to the actual game. So,
oh, wow. Cool. I didn't know that.
You can actually play surrounded by corn and stuff now. So that's kind of fun.
That is awesome.
But yeah, I think I'm gonna try to do that. But I also on the Switch, and we'll be talking about and recapping a little bit later. You know, there was a Nintendo Indie World showcase this past week. Also an ID at Xbox Twitch Gaming Showcase. We'll be recapping those for our main discussion. But there were a lot of shadow drops for the Nintendo Switch this past week. And one of those happened to be Garden Story, a game that I had been anticipating for quite some time. So I picked that up off of the Indie World showcase. I ended up picking up Axiom Verge 2. Boyfriend Dungeon, I've been playing. That's another game that I've been playing. I put like an hour and a half to 2 hours into Boyfriend Dungeon. That's what I was thinking of on Xbox Game Pass before you and I were sat down to actually hit record.
You couldn't figure it
and
out.
And I was trying to figure out what game on Game Pass I had played besides MLB The Show. Boyfriend Dungeon. That's what it was. And that game is like you create a character. It's kind of like a ambiguous character. You're not really a guy. You're not really a girl. And you are able to date these weapons. We talked about it on Kickstart My Heart several years ago. Like,
did I think I remember that?
You might have heard it. This was like in 2018 when it was Frank and I. We talked about it. However, we did discuss it again because it was in like an Xbox showcase last year. And like it was the re-debut of it after its Kickstarter campaign. So I've always been anticipating this game. You get to like date your weapons and that kind of stuff. And it's more or less like a dungeon crawling hack and slash game. It's really fun. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not that far into it. Just like I'm not that far into Garden Story. Now, Garden Story is this sort of Zelda inspired. I think you would really like it, Dan.
It is a game that I want to play. I'm watching the trailer now just to refresh. But yeah, this is a game that I need to get in and play.
Yeah, so you're able to like walk around this grove and you are, you know, you have a weapon and you very minimal combat, but like you're taking on requests from the neighbors that live in your grove or whatever, completing
tasks.
It's
got some like Stardew Valley to it.
It's like a lot like Stardew, a lot like Zelda, a lot like, not a lot like, it has a lot of similar elements to Turnip Boy. In like just the way that the side quests and some of the tasks that the villagers ask you to do, it sort of works the same way. And you are like solving these puzzles to get rid of the rot. And the rot are basically the enemies that are infesting the grove, and they kind of come out at night. So like during the day, you're doing all this shit and taking care of stuff. But then at night, you're kind of doing combat, going through dungeons, fighting enemies and getting equipment. That's where the Zelda stuff comes into play. Yeah. So there's a lot of different elements here. I'm not that far into it, but eventually, you know, you're able to care for a small little garden, gather resources, do like crafting stuff. I haven't gotten that far yet, but it's not like, at least from what I have seen so far, it's not like super expansive. The areas aren't like massive by any stretch of the imagination, but it's decent. Like, for the art style that it's going for and for the presentation that they're doing, it's a pretty decent experience. My only issue so far has been the dialogue and the grammar. I don't know exactly the quality assurance that this game went through, how big the team was, but in the hour or so that I've put into this on the Switch, I've already seen several spelling mistakes and several grammatical errors, and that bugs me a little bit.
I wonder where they're based out of. Like, is there a disconnect between?
Well, the developer is Picogram.
Yeah, that's what I was going to look up.
I don't know. Let's see here if we can see where they're based out of. Picogram Game Studio. Let's see here. It's definitely a foreign...
That's what I was wondering. I wonder, from their language to English, is there a huge... Is the translation a little harder?
Yeah, see, I can't... It doesn't... Well, no. They're based out of Portland, Oregon.
Oh. Hmm.
So I think it was just not, I guess, quality assured enough or checked enough. I don't know.
That's a shame because, that's kind of hindering your enjoyment of it.
So that's been a little disappointing, yeah.
Because dialogue is huge in those kind of games.
Absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, that's not taking anything away from the game. I think it's still super enjoyable. It's getting pretty positive reviews across Steam. I've seen some pretty decent reviews on this. It's, getting average scores. So it's kind of what I expected out of this. And I'm glad that it's out. I'm glad so many shadow drops happened. I'm excited. Kyle posted in Discord already. He already fucking finished Axiom Verge 2. Yeah. He said it took him about 6 hours. I want to get through that game, too. There's so many cool things right now that are on the Switch, getting ready to release on the Switch. Hopefully I'll be able to, just enjoy video games again here soon because I really want to. I really like how awesome video games are right now. And speaking of video games that are awesome and that you have been enjoying, I know you've been putting some more time as we've talked about the exodus of people leaving Activision Blizzard games over the past few weeks on the podcast. I know I've, made it known that I canceled my Warcraft subscription. I've already been kind of knee deep into Final Fantasy 14 for several months now. But with everything going on, a lot of people have been leaving Warzone and moving on over back to Apex Legends.
Yeah, a lot of the big name streamers, Nick Merckx is one of them. He has stopped playing Warzone. He has gone over to Apex. Yeah, there's been a huge transition, myself included. I have been jumping back into Apex. Now, I played a lot of Apex very early on. The first three seasons, I played a lot. And then I think Warzone came around and that kind of got my attention a little bit more. But I've always enjoyed Apex. It's the characters are really cool. Some of the stories they tell with those characters, the backstory, I really feel like they could do something with that. There could be something there, whether some YouTube shorts or something they could, or a comic book, just the stories that they have with their characters and the backstories you could learn. I think there's something there, but no, I've been enjoying my time while playing it. I've had a hard time trying to find people to play with. Some of my people that I would play those kind of games with are still either playing Warzone or they just aren't playing games right now. So I wish there was a solo.
It's so weird that there's not an Apex.
There isn't, because I've run into so many people that jump solo and then go die and then quit. So then you're left because you can play duos. That's right. Nice. I've been playing duos now.
Which I've only seen you've been doing and just getting paired up with randoms.
Yes, exactly. Yes, because I don't have anybody else to play with. So I've been doing that and I don't want to just solo jump into duos. I mean, I did end up winning a game where a guy was very good. He had 11 kills. I had 6 kills. We ended up winning. And so that was kind of nice. But for the most part, my experience jumping into the game with randoms has not been that great. So I just wish that, Apex would have a solo mode so people that just want to play solo can just go do that, because it's very frustrating to have a guy jump or, a fellow player jump and then not tell you where they're going and then just run off, do their own thing and then die and then quit. And then you're left just, trying to deal with that. So that's my only gripe. But I have been loving season 10. The new character is super OP. They're supposed to be making some changes to that. But yes, Warzone has been reeling. They have been coming out. I think they dropped their new season. They dropped it early. Supposedly they're working on an anti-cheat because of
I did see that. Yeah. I did, which is about time.
It's about fucking time, because that was making that game so unenjoyable. And, you're going to run into cheaters on Apex, but it's not as prevalent, which actually somebody posted. Google searches for Apex cheat have gone up, but obviously because player base has switched from Warzone to Apex, but Apex, they focus on the cheating a little bit more. They take it a little more serious than Warzone does. So yeah, Activision has been getting kicked in the balls with this transition from people playing Warzone. Splitgate has been getting crazy reviews. That's another game that I played it a few times. I want to get back into it.
You played that a little bit, yeah.
I did. I had one of the developers in there watching my stream.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that's another game I want to check out. But it's honestly, like, those games are more enjoyable to be playing with other, like, people that you know. So, and I just don't have a lot of people that have PCs that want to play, like, Splitgate. And I've been having a hard time, again, trying to get some of my friends to jump into Apex. But I have been enjoying my time. I love it. I'm glad I'm back there. And it's something that I'm going to try to hopefully, stream once or twice a week.
Well, kind of ties into the conversation that Kyle and I had in our main discussion last week on the state of MMORPGs and, like, how there's room right now for somebody, whether it's Amazon with New World or that studio that has some people that used to be at Blizzard years ago that kind of reformed and are making Palia, which is like a community driven MMORPG. And there's room for somebody to really come in and take advantage of
the fact that
so many people have left Warcraft. There's room right now for whether it's Apex, whether it's Splitgate, whether it's a new Battle Royale or something. There's room for somebody to come in and just really shake things up because of the exodus off of Warzone and everything that's been going on with Activision Blizzard. It's actually really surprising to me that Epic and Respawn don't add a solo mode to Apex Legends because of all this. Like, this is the prime time to do it. Like, if there was ever a good time, it's right now. Because Warzone does have a solo mode that works pretty well. So take that, stick it in Apex, and you'd probably get a lot more people playing.
Now, I know they've had a solo mode, but it's usually been like a limited timed thing.
Sort of like the zombie stuff and that kind of thing.
I know that they've had it, but maybe they're just caught off guard with, the player base of Warzone shifting. But I would imagine that there's a base there for it. And I just think it's something that is needed to let them solo players have it so they don't ruin the trios and the duo game modes that they have as well.
Yeah, I certainly hope they do something because
me too.
It would be cool to see, somebody really just... Because Warzone, first it was PUBG, and then it's kind of like Warzone was on top of the game, but it's slipping. So
yeah, they're falling off. Actually, I was gonna look at
maybe Naraka Bladepoint can take over some share of the pie. That new Battle Royale 60 player,
we talked about that. Yeah,
samurai inspired swords and shit Battle Royale. That looks so fun. Like I know I wouldn't be good at it because I'm not good at those kind of games, but I like the premise. It's like if Ghost of Tsushima was a Battle Royale.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, Ghost of Tsushima's got their own multiplayer.
They do Legends. They do.
Yeah. So, but I was just trying to see what concurrents were. Apex right now has 150,000 viewers. Warzone has half of that, 78,000.
And that's not surprising. There's probably...
Nope, not surprising at all.
Yeah, there's probably... Let's see here. Obviously, Fortnite is still holding strong at the top, 230,000. So you've got Tfue with 27,000 viewers. You got TZ Timmy with almost 40,000 viewers. Yeah. I mean, Trainwreck's got 14 like that. I mean, that's a large portion of the 152 right there.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I know Nick Merckx. I think before we got on to record, I was on Nick on here. Nick Merckx had like 50,000 viewers.
Well, he
on
probably
his
rated somebody, either Timmy probably, or Tfue or somebody. Like, that's where most of these viewers went to. So. But yeah, hopefully Epic and Respawn are able to take advantage of this. It'd be cool to see Apex kind of sitting at the top.
Seems
like a lot of people went back to Fortnite and Valorant too, based off of these numbers.
Yeah, correct. So it's helped those games out a lot.
Yeah. So, all right, as promised, What's New With You is not over yet. I am joined by host of the Media Files every single Friday. Make sure you tune into last week's episode. It was on the Suicide Squad. It is Kyle.
Man, you can't make an episode of the Level Down Games podcast without me getting in somehow, some way, man.
But I think that's probably good, right? Like, no matter what, you can always expect Kyle to be here.
Yeah, Even when you're not here,
you're going to be here.
I'm going to be here no matter what. Gosh dang it. Didn't I miss an episode a couple weeks ago?
I think so. Yeah, it was the one that Dan and I did completely solo. But that's
never mind.
Okay.
Forget
time,
everything
there's
I said.
There's always going to be times where something happens, but God damn it. We'll try to make sure that doesn't happen that often.
You betcha.
And I got you here this week. We're actually going to be chatting about a game that you've been playing through Xbox Game Pass, something that I tagged as like, you know, play later, but I haven't jumped into it yet. And I don't know if I want to. Maybe you can convince me. We're talking The Last Stop.
Man, okay, so The Last Stop was not a hard sell for me. I'll be honest.
It's like Life is Strange.
It is very much a Life is Strange game under a different moniker by a different developer. You are controlling a character that essentially is just walking around and picking dialogue. Those are your two main actions in this game as you go through stuff. But, you know, I'm reminded of movies or TV shows that some movies or TV shows will do this where there's like strangers that have Love Actually is a movie that does this. There's like five or six different stories going at once. And then
that
right
is
at
one
the
of
end,
Jessica's fucking favorite movies. Dude,
I love that movie.
She is obsessed with Love Actually.
It's so good. So right at the end, they all like collide and you see how they're connected, right?
Yeah.
That's how this game is. There are three different stories going on at once, and they're all in this British town. And there is some weird stuff.
Wait, you're here. We got to make fun of Sev because you mentioned Britain. I can't let you go until we do because he's going to be expecting it now.
Now he's expecting it. It'll happen.
Now he's expecting it. So we got to somehow tie this in.
It'll come some way, somehow.
Not like Sev. He never does.
Oh my God, there it was.
Got him!
Got him! But man, this is actually, I've actually really been enjoying this game way more than I thought that I would. Lindsay has been watching me play it, and she's been really involved in it too. The stories are actually pretty decently constructed and well voice acted as well. I'm not familiar with any of the voice actors. I think you might be familiar with one or two of them. I'm not, but the music is really good. It's might be like my favorite soundtrack of the year so far. Weirdly
Holy
enough,
crap! I don't know. I gotta check this out now. You say that.
Well, and understand where I'm coming from. I am a huge fan of Life is Strange. This is a soundtrack that is a Life is Strange soundtrack without being licensed music. Does that make sense?
It does.
So they are very much going for the same feel, the same overall aura that Life is Strange hits, just without licensing very, very expensive music. And I'm loving the soundtrack. The voice acting is really good too. Now, it is not quite reaching to the heights of Life is Strange. In Life is Strange, when you choose options, dialogue options, or different actions that your characters can do, it changes actual story beats for you later on in the story. This game does not seem to be that way. This game, the dialogue options kind of just serve as flavor to push the story
along.
And
that's kind of everything that I've seen on this, is that the choices don't fucking matter.
They don't. As much, it does kind of change.
And that really bugs me because that's what these games kind of live and die off of.
Absolutely.
Is their, you know, basis of being a choose your own adventure. And if you have no control of, like, if everything's going to be the same regardless, then what's the point?
The point is that it's still a decent story. And they've actually done a pretty good job of kind of weaving in and out of this kind of strange supernatural tale. There are definitely some supernatural elements going into it. Also, just kind of like some family elements of, you know, kind of a couple that aren't very happy together, dad and his daughter, this guy that's being weird with bringing girls into his house. There's a whole bunch of weird things going on. And I'm about halfway into the game right now. I think there's six chapters each for each character.
It looks like it's about 6 hours long. So.
And each chapter so far seems to last 20 to 30 minutes, and there's six for each character, three characters, 18 chapters total, and the stories have just barely started to overlap a little bit. One character from one story is the teacher of another character at their school, right? So we're starting to see a little bit of overlap, but I do have to say that the story is actually pretty well written. The graphics are pretty whack. The characters have very little expression on their face when they say and do things. The voices are really what's driving it. And I got to say, the one thing that's really bugging me and Lindsay, if the character, if a human is not a character in the story, then they do not have a face. So there's like a bunch of like, there's a, like faceless 3D models wandering around the world. And that's okay. Really distracting and kind of weird.
I could, yeah, for sure.
So
that's weird.
And I don't know if it was an artistic decision or like they just had to save time and resources. I don't
know. It would have been better if they just would have done like a silhouette instead of a faceless person.
You know, something, it just doesn't, it feels very, very weird when each of these people walk by and they're just totally faceless. But that being said, I'm actually enjoying it. I don't know what it is on like Metacritic or OpenCritic right now. If I had
69,
to,
baby, okay, 69.
I was going to say maybe a 7 out of 10. And that's probably pretty solid. This is not a game for anybody. But if you do like just purely story-driven games, this one's all right.
Now, this is the one, and I kept getting like upset every time we would see it because it was appearing at like every event over the last like 2 or so years. And every time we saw basically the same stuff of like that conference room choice trailer thing and the same couple characters. And every time we saw it, I just felt like what we were seeing wasn't necessarily as exciting as the thing that we saw previously.
Right.
So I've always been kind of scared on this one. Thankfully, it's on Game Pass. So if you're already, you know, subscribed to Game Pass, you've literally don't have to spend a dime to check this out. And that is why I will check it out eventually. I just don't know if I'm completely 100% sold on it.
Yeah. It, you know what? With it being on Game Pass, I have to say, let me say this. If it were not on Game Pass and I had purchased it, I don't feel like I would have been ripped off. I do feel like I'm enjoying it enough to have purchased this game. I'm assuming it's probably in the $20 range.
I'm actually looking right now because I actually don't know. So I'm looking at what it is for the PS5, and it is $24.99.
Okay, that's probably a decent price for something like this. Very little replay value because the story is very linear. I'm assuming if this is at all a success, they may add like a fourth storyline or something like that into it, and that could add a little bit, you know, more reason to go back and play it again. But I would have enjoyed picking this up and purchasing it for what it was. But again, I like these types of games. I like Life is Strange so much, and this is just kind of Life is Strange light.
Speaking of Life is Strange, did you see that they delayed the remastered collection until early next year?
Yes, the remastered collection got delayed, which is such a bummer.
However,
so excited.
The True Colors like DLC they said is going to be out like right after the game or something like that. Did you see that too?
No, wait, what?
Yeah, so where is it at here? Let me see here. Where is it? The Life is Strange Wavelengths downloadable content will be releasing on September 30th.
Oh, wow.
So just like 3 weeks after the game comes out?
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to pick that up and play it regardless. I am going to get the deluxe edition because the deluxe edition comes with the remastered collection.
That way, come next year, we'll just be able to download it.
I'll just download it and play it. But I was just telling Lindsay while we were playing The Last Stop, I said, man, I cannot wait for Life is Strange Remastered to come out because she still hasn't played Life is Strange. And I'm so excited to go back through that and have her experience it for the first time. I love that story. But now we have to wait.
But you don't have to wait to play The Last Stop. You can play that on Game Pass now and you'll be able to play Life is Strange True Colors in less than a month. We're less than a month away from that one now. Which means we're also less than a month away from Tales of Arise because it comes out on the same day, Kyle.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, it does. Can't wait. September 10th is going to be a great day. I can't fucking wait. Dan, we've got, I don't know, I didn't count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things to talk about. Pretty decent week. We got some fun things here to mention. We got a lot of cool things coming up. The lightning round begins right now. Gamescom week is shaping up pretty nicely. That'll be next week, and I am looking forward to that. I'll be doing live reactions across YouTube for all this stuff, kicking things off on Tuesday, August 24th, the day that this podcast will, not this particular episode, but an episode of the Lowdown Games podcast will post on that Tuesday. Xbox will be hosting a showcase at 1 p.m. Eastern that will feature in-depth updates from some previously announced Xbox Game Studios titles, alongside some third-party partners, including some of the titles coming to Xbox this holiday, upcoming releases to Xbox Game Pass, and much more. Then on August 25th, Wednesday, Jeff Keighley will be hosting Gamescom Opening Night Live at 2 p.m. Eastern, which is set to include a number of new game announcements and updates. And then finally, on Thursday, August 26th, the Future Game Showcase Gamescom Edition will be at 4 p.m. Eastern and will feature over 40 games from publishers including Frontier Developments, Koch Media, Team 17, and Tripwire Interactive, including a few surprises. Or is it Kosh Media or Coke Media or whatever you want to fucking call it? It's probably Kosh. I don't know why I said cock that time. It just came out that way. Cock's on the brain.
Oh, geez. It's crazy to hear you say Xbox this holiday. Like, it's crazy that we're going to be starting to get into that holiday mindset here real, real soon.
Well, yeah, dude. Like, two more months. Two more months. I think Christmas stuff is already starting to hit the store shelves, probably. I know Halloween stuff has been on there for a while now. Christmas stuff's coming soon. Yeah, Xbox is holiday. We got to see what that's going to look like because right now we just know probably Halo. So
correct.
I'm excited, though. Three big conferences next week. We should get a lot of new game announcements, a lot of updates, some really cool surprises. Jeff Keighley usually pulls out all the stops for his stuff.
He does, man. He's really, really good for this industry.
Like what he, you know, getting that tease of Elden Ring back during E3 time. I am super pumped for next week. I really am looking forward to reacting to these. It should be fun.
According to strong rumors stemming from a Kotaku report, Rockstar Games is developing remakes of Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas for PC, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. The remakes are reportedly being developed in Unreal Engine using a mix of new and old graphics, with one source stating that the visuals reminded them of a heavily modded version of a classic GTA title. The user interface will also be updated, but retain the same classic style. While details on gameplay were not shared, the remakes are said to stay as true to the original games as possible. The remakes are reportedly due out around late October to early November for consoles, with the PC and mobile releases possibly slipping into 2022. As for the release model, it is said that all three games will be available in a single package, which may only be sold digitally. Kotaku also reports that Rockstar Games has plans to develop new ports of games like Red Dead Redemption, but that whether these plans are realized depends on the success of the GTA remakes. This is crazy news. I mean,
we knew they had to be doing something, right?
Yeah, because they've been living off of this game.
They've been doing nothing. They've been doing Grand Theft Auto 5 since 2013, and that's it. And then they had Red Dead Redemption 2 like 2 years ago. And then it's been nothing. Like, there's been rumors that GTA 6 is in development, but it does make sense for, you know, I think this is being done not like the main Rockstar team. Like, this is an outsourced smaller team working on these remakes,
which is
why they're not going to look like Grand Theft Auto 5. They're probably going to more look like the report stated, like what you would expect a PC mod to look like for, say, San Andreas. Like, it'll look HD and it'll look pretty good, like PS3 360 style graphics, but it's not going to look nearly as well as, say, Red Dead Redemption 2 did.
Correct. Yeah.
But this is exciting. This is super exciting. And if it's actually coming out late October to early November, like the report says, that's a good fucking holiday title. If they're all available in one single package, that's an instant buy for me. I love all three of these games, and I would easily play through a remake of them again.
I never beat San Andreas. That's the only one of those that I haven't beat. So it would be kind of cool to go back and play all three of them and beat San Andreas for the first time.
Of those three, Vice City is still the best. Like... Vice City's so good.
No, I agree. I enjoyed my time with GTA and Vice City. So
who was it in Discord? Was it, we were talking about it in, here it is. It was Sev, because I posted this in there and I said, I wonder how they're going to look. Sev said that staying true to the original gameplay as much as possible in his book means that these worlds are going to feel very empty by today's standards. And I could see that being the case. If you think back to the original trilogy GTA games, like, you know, 3, Vice City and San Andreas, they were open world games, but like there weren't a ton of people and cars walking about. And now that we've had these giant open world games like GTA yeah. 5 and Cyberpunk and Ghost of Tsushima that, you know, have been just littered with NPCs and so much stuff to do, these games will probably feel rather empty by today's standards. But I think they'll still hold up and be fun to play.
So. No, I agree.
Another rumor, this one stemming from a Fanbyte report from former Game Informer senior editor Imran Khan, states that Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is nearing the final stages of development at Monolith Soft for Nintendo Switch and is reportedly set to be announced later this year or early next year with a release sometime in the first half of 2022. And that's exciting. I've loved every single Xenoblade game that's come out from Monolith that has been on Nintendo. I was a massive fan of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I put over 100 hours into that game in like a week and a half.
Damn.
Such a great game. And I'm super excited to see kind of what they do with Xenoblade Chronicles 3. And I'm still waiting for that Switch port of Xenoblade Chronicles X. That's like the last game that's still not been ported over from the Wii U era. Like, it needs to happen.
Publisher Game Mill Entertainment and developer Fun Labs have announced Arena first-person shooter Nerf Legends. First-person shooter Nerf Legends for PS... For PC, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. It will launch this October. Nerf Legends thrusts you in a futuristic sci-fi world where you'll come face-to-face with legions of robot enemies and ultimate boss masters. Armed with a wide array of Nerf blasters based on their iconic real-world counterparts, you'll thwart formidable enemies with being challenged to pull off the most impressive high-flying trick shots across a series of unique and immersive environments. Are your Nerf skills up to the challenge to become the ultimate Nerf legend? This sounds like I could have a shit ton of fun with this game.
I mean, it's an arena shooter, so think obviously Quake or any of those style of games that are just so much fun to play. Overwatch, obviously. I'm not that good at them, but I think this is so cool. Like, and it just makes sense. Like, I can't believe it's not been done before. Like, an actual Nerf-style arena shooter. Like, we used to play with Nerf guns all the time back when we were kids, man.
And now that I'm having a son, you damn sure know there's going to be some Nerf guns and some Nerf wars in this house when he gets old enough.
Yeah, you guys will be shooting your poor wife all the time with Nerf bullets.
Exactly. She'll be tortured as soon as she walks in the door from work.
And you can get practice the Nerf Legends. Like, this is a cool little thing. Hopefully, I'm wondering how this will actually like play and look. And
yeah, I hope it's not too corny.
Right, like this could have like budget title written all over it.
Yes, exactly.
But with like a proper budget or, you know, some really strong development, this could be a really fun fucking game. So,
oh yeah, no, for sure.
Hopefully, it ends up being the case. I'm super excited for this, too. Publisher X Plus Games and developer Sunzai Games have announced 8-bit 2D platformer Bat Boy for PC, PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. It will release sometime next year. Interdimensional mage Lord Vicious has brainwashed Bat Boy's fellow teammates in order to participate in the Trials of Darkness, a heinously brutal series of athletic events. It's up to Bat Boy to team up with one-time villain and mouthy crow Geru, traversing all manner of hostile worlds to free the minds of his sports hero teammates before they fall victim to the trials. Along the way, Batboy will encounter all manner of characters, some allies, most not, as he fights his way to the final confrontation with Lord Vicious. Batboy pits the titular hero against the former allies of his sports team, heroes such as Racket Girl, Shania Guy, Aquaria, and Mr. Blitzer, among others, as he travels through the many worlds beyond Lord Vicious's dimensional gateway. I put this trailer in Discord the other day and I tagged Kyle. This has like, man, Dan, I think you'd really like this too. It's got this NES 8-bit style.
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me heavily of like The Messenger or Shovel Knight or things like that. This just looks so fucking good.
No, I will definitely be keeping this on my radar. Yeah, anytime you mention 8-bit, I'm there for it.
Yep. And then another good game got announced this week that looks cool.
Am I going to be able to pronounce that one?
I think so. Nicolas.
Publisher Nicolas and developer Pixelian Studios have announced a 2D action game, Crytidel, for PC and Nintendo Switch. It's set to release later this year. Run, jump, and blast through the convoluted pathways and secret chambers of a giant mechanical tower known as Babel. Along the way, you'll face legions of futuristic enemies, minions of the Order of Noah, an evil faction that has seized control of the tower. At the top, ancient knowledge that can grant eternal life. Who will get there first? A hardcore action game with a Game Boy Advance inspired graphics and a pulse-pounding techno soundtrack, Crytidel offers a virtually limitless variety of weapons and item configuration options. With upgradable playable characters and continuously reconfigured branching paths, it's a game that's different every time you play it. Yeah, again, another game that sounds like it's just going to be in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, like, I watched the trailer for this, the GBA-style graphics, dude. This just looks, again, so freaking sick. Yeah. Like, oh, man, I'm so happy right now. Like, this just looks so cool. It looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
11-Bit Studios has announced Frostpunk 2 for PC. A release date or window was not given. Frostpunk 2 is the sequel to the highly acclaimed BAFTA-nominated society survival game that blended city-building strategy and management gameplay, creating a brand new genre. Its successor takes place 30 years after the apocalyptic Blizzard Storm, and Earth is still overwhelmed by the icy climate of never-ending frost and harsh weather. You play as the leader of a resource-hungry metropolis where the expansion and search for new sources of power is an unavoidable reality. After the Age of Coal, conquering Frostland for the oil extraction industry is expected to be the new salvation of what's left of humanity. However, change does not come easily, and not everyone in this new multi-layered society will welcome this new direction. Demands and expectations of various factions will raise tensions and evoke conflicts, but will a cold-blooded rule and a Machiavellian approach to politics be necessary? As the everlasting cold continues its grip on the city and outside threats arise, you'll need to make sure your people are united, driven, and ready for difficult, unavoidable sacrifices. I only played the initial Frostpunk a little, but I did appreciate everything that it was trying to do. And like they said, it really did kind of create a brand new genre. So I'm not surprised to see Frostpunk 2 get announced, you know, just a couple years after the original came out. I imagine this game's going to do quite well when it comes out. But I have a feeling it's like probably still two or so years away.
Yeah, I see the first one got 86% on OpenCritic.
Oh, yeah. It got really, really strong reviews. So closing out with the release date roundup and delays, we've only got a few of each. Eastward releases on September 16th and Lake releases on September 1st. And then for delays, Life is Strange, the remastered collection has been delayed to early next year. Unfortunate. Yeah. However, Life is Strange True Colors still on track to come out at the beginning of September. So that is the end of the lightning round this week.
This is Kyle, and one day you can be too. Every Friday, I host what is soon to be your favorite podcast, The Media Files. Me and one of my best friends talk about pop culture happenings so that you don't look like an uncultured swine during those boring water cooler conversations. Laughs are shared, tears are cried, and sometimes we have really interesting special guests that you might be familiar with. Download The Media Files wherever you download podcasts, and remember, be kind, be honest, and we'll see you later.
And you know what that music means, Dan. It is time for the new release roulette. But before we get to the stacked week of games this week, we have 6 games to talk about on the show. But let me tell you a little something. We've got more than that to talk about on the new release roulette over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/leveldowngames. 11 games actually coming out this week. We are going to focus on 6 of them for the podcast. But before we do, we have to go over last week's results. City of Gangsters, I guessed it would come in at an 81. That does not have enough reviews currently on OpenCritic. Naraka Blade Point, I guessed it would come in at a 72. That is not on OpenCritic at all. And then Lawn Mowing Simulator, I guessed it would come in at a 75. And Kyle went all in. He put all 30 on it going over. Only 5 reviews so far, and 70 is the official top critic average. So Kyle was wrong.
Womp, womp.
But Dan, I don't know if you heard on the podcast last week, you did not do well the previous week either. You went from beating me on every single game like 3 weeks ago to the 2 weeks ago, you like failed every single thing. Like you put 6 on every game and you were wrong on all 6 of them. You put 6 on all 5 and you were wrong on every single one of them.
That's rough. The highs so and lows.
Hopefully you'll do better this week. Get to choose the game of the week this week. It is going to be a tough week, I think. I mean, honestly, I'm excited for all 6 of these games. And I'm excited for even more of the games that we're going to be talking about during the new release roulette on YouTube. So this is a very strong week for gaming. Let's talk about them. Game number one, coming on Monday, yesterday, PC, Nintendo Switch. It's already available. Road 96. Summer 1996. Today is the day. On this risky road trip to the border, you'll meet incredible characters and discover their intertwined stories and secrets in an ever-evolving adventure. But every mile opens up a choice to make. Your decisions will change your adventure, change the people you meet, maybe even change the world. There are thousands of roads across the authoritarian nation of Petria. Which one will you take? Road 96 is a crazy, beautiful road trip. The discovery of exciting places and unusual people on your own personal journey to freedom. Moments of action, exploration, contemplative melancholy, human encounters, and wacky situations. Set against a backdrop of authoritarian rule and oppression, a stunning visual style, a soundtrack filled with 90s hits, and a thousand routes through the game, combined so each player can create their own unique stories on Road 96. I have been waiting for this game since it was initially announced last year. I love that there's literally so many different routes and paths and roads that you can travel on to make this like your own adventure road trip.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in this game. It looks very interesting. And yeah, having that many options to choose from, I mean, that's insane.
This is a perfect Switch game. I think I'll be picking this up on the Nintendo Switch. Game number two, a game that shocked the fuck out of all of us during the most recent Thunderdome, coming on Tuesday to PC, PS5, Xbox Series, and Nintendo Switch. Didn't this make it to like the top five, maybe even the top four?
I think so, yeah.
I remember we all said we were going to have to buy this just because of that. It's Greek Memories of Azure. Greek Memories of Azure is a side-scrolling single-player game with hand-drawn animations. You will take the role of three siblings, Greek, Adara, and Radel, to guide them through the lands of Azure. Alternate control between them and use their unique abilities to escape from the Urlog invasion. Greek is the name of the main character and the smallest brother of three. He belongs to a magical race called the Korines, which are currently under the attack of an enemy invasion from a faction called the Urlogs. This battle has been going on for a long time, and the Korines are starting to flee their own lands. Greek's goal is to reunite with his brother Radel and his sister Adara, and then escape the lands of Azure by building an airship piece by piece. Throughout the game, you will find each sibling in different scenarios, and once you do, they will join the adventure and help you progress through the game. This game just looks so fucking good, man. Like, there's a reason we got up that high in Thunderdome, and from out of nowhere. So,
yeah,
I'm really looking forward to playing it.
It's nice to get a kind of surprise like that, you know, because we're not usually on the same page with games.
Right.
We all have
very
different tastes.
Across all four of us, right.
Exactly.
And, the fact that this made it up so high, like, I think we all somewhere had it in the top 10.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, maybe I'll try to stream that this week.
Ooh, that'd be sick if you did.
Yeah.
I know I'm picking it up. Again, I think it's probably going to be a Switch buy for me. Anything I can get on the Switch, I tend to. Especially if they're not, like, graphically intensive, I know it's going to run okay
exactly.
on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah. No, maybe I will pick that up on the Switch.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somewhere else, but right now I'm kind of leaning toward the Switch. Game number three, also coming on Tuesday today to PC. I'm looking forward to this too, and it's going to be on Game Pass for PC. It's Humankind.
Nice.
Humankind is a historical strategy game where you'll be rewriting the entire narrative of human history and combining cultures to create a civilization that's as unique as you are. Combine up to 60 historical cultures as you lead your people from the ancient to the modern age. From humble origins as a Neolithic tribe, transition to the ancient era as the Babylonians, become the classical era Mayans, the medieval Umayyads, the early modern era British, and so on. I don't even know if I said that right. Umayyads. I have no idea. Each culture will add its own special gameplay layer, leading to near endless outcomes. I like games like Civilization. I think Humankind is stepping up the game in that regard. I'm trying to figure out how you Umayyads pronunciation. I want to know if I said it right. Let's see here. Umayyads. I said it wrong. It's Umayyads.
You'd done a better job than I would have done.
You like these kind of games too, don't you, though?
I do. I've played Civilization and other games like this, so I'm wondering if we could play it together.
I don't know, but it's on Game Pass, so
yeah,
we're each going to have access to it.
Yeah, we should try to figure that out, because this would be something that would be kind of fun to play
Maybe
together.
Maybe we could even stream that, too.
Correct,
could be something else we could do. Yeah, let's see if we could do a quick live Humankind multiplayer. Let's see. Let's see if it's a thing. While there are single-player modes where you can build up your civilization from nothing all on your own, there will also be multiplayer modes where you can pit your civilization against other players around the world, whether it be on the battlefield or in the halls of diplomacy. Yes, there is definitely multiplayer.
Okay.
It says precise details as to how the game's multiplayer will work are still a bit murky, but it's assumed that it'll work in a similar manner to Civilization.
Okay.
So, yeah, we might have to do that. That'd be fun.
We do might have to do that, yeah.
Game number four. I know Kyle's really looking forward to this. I will be picking it up. Well, I don't have to pick it up. It's also going to be on Game Pass. Coming on Thursday to PC and Xbox Series, it is 12 Minutes. 12 Minutes is a real-time, top-down interactive thriller with an accessible click-and-drag interface. Featuring James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe, what should be a romantic evening with your wife turns into a nightmare when a police detective breaks into your home, accuses your wife of murder, and beats you to death. Only for you to find yourself immediately returned to the exact moment you open the front door, stuck in a 12-minute time loop, doomed to relive the same terror again and again. Unless you can find a way to use the knowledge of what's coming to change the outcome and break the loop. 12 Minutes blends the dreamlike tension of The Shining with the claustrophobia of Rear Window and the fragmented structure of Memento. I'm so glad this is finally coming out. This game has been in development for a few years now. We've been kind of seeing it at different various Xbox conferences for the last like 2+ years. This game looks so dope, dude. And again, another Game Pass game. Why wouldn't you play it?
I mean, yeah, Game Pass. Yeah, man, I might actually play 3 new games this week.
I think you might play 6 new games this week.
Okay, well.
Because you're about to look up the next game, game number 5, Arietta of Spirits, because I know you're not familiar with it. You're going to be looking it up as we talk about it. Coming on Friday to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. I think you're going to like this one too. Arietta of Spirits is a charming adventure game with emotion-filled narrative, no filler gameplay, and fast-paced combat. The game tells the story of Arietta and her family visiting their grandmother's cabin for the first time after her passing away a year prior. However, the family trip takes an unexpected turn when Arietta meets a mysterious new friend and gains the ability to see strange spirits that inhabit the island.
Yeah, add this to the fucking list. Holy shit, man.
So far, all 5 games have sounded good. All 5 games have sounded great this week. And again, there's still others that are not on this list, like Hell Architect, that's on Steam. We're going to talk about that in the video version. Recompile looks good. Madden also comes out this week, Madden 22.
Wow, damn, really? Holy shit.
Yes,
smokes.
It does. It's not even in the podcast because it's just Madden. I don't really care to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. It comes out every year.
Arietta of Spirits was part of that like demo, like the Xbox summer demo thing that they did back in July. And I remember I played through the demo and fucking loved it. Like, I'm so excited for this. And of course, also on Friday, game number 6 coming to PS5 and PS4, it's Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. This new edition comes packed, not only with the original game and every piece of additional content, but a brand new adventure for Jin alongside a bunch of new features that, we're not going to say, alongside a bunch of new features. I didn't take everything out from the initial announcement, so it's talking like it's Sony here. If you're a history buff, you may know that in addition to Tsushima, the neighboring island of Iki was also invaded during this time period. In this new story, Jin travels to the island to investigate rumors of a Mongol presence, but soon he finds himself caught up in events with deeply personal stakes that will force him to relive some traumatic moments from his past. Beyond a whole new story and new characters, this new island also features tons of new content, including brand new environments to explore, new armor for Jin, as well as a horse, new minigames, new techniques, new enemy types, and much more. There are even new animals to pet. On both platforms, Director's Cut will also offer new trophies to unlock for the new Iki content. And my question is, how do you not get this as well? Like, they're selling it as a standalone upgrade if you already own the original Ghost of Tsushima. You can get this Director's Cut upgrade for, I think, $30 on the PS5.
Okay, because I originally bought this for the PS4. I originally bought this for the PS4. Yeah, I mean, you have to. This is a great, amazing game.
And even, you know what, like I keep saying, I really don't want to play through the entire game again just to experience the new content. I want to experience the new content regardless. So if I have to play through the game like up to a certain point, I guess I'll do so again to get there. But I really want to get that new story. Like I want to transfer my save and just go right into the new stuff. That's what I want to do.
You should be able to, but
that's my hope. That's my hope. And I haven't looked into it long, you know, deep enough to see if that's ever been confirmed or not. But I'm looking forward to this. Like, and supposedly the Iki Island content is as expansive and long as the first act in the original game.
That's insane.
And if you remember how big that first act was, like...
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
The first act was the biggest part of Ghost of Tsushima. Like, you had that entire bottom area of Tsushima Island, and it was massive. But then when you went on to Act 2, which was in the middle, you know, it was much more condensed. Still beautiful, but, you know, in open world, but it was smaller in scale. And then same thing, when you got up to the snowy north, it was still smaller in scale to that bottom portion. So if they're saying that Iki Island is kind of as expansive and the same size as the bottom portion of that map, I mean, we're looking at probably a solid 12 to 15 hours of content. And that's fucking awesome. Like, I can't wait.
No, I'm excited. Ghost of Tsushima is probably one of my... It's definitely on my list of, like, top games of all time.
I don't understand why this week is so strong. Like, this week in video gaming,
dude, like,
is
holy
so good.
Smokes.
This week is such a strong week in gaming. I really do want all of these games. Like, I want to buy all of them. And there's a good chance that I do before I, you know, things happen
again,
and I run
nice
out of money.
The nice thing is what? How many of them are on Game Pass?
Right. Two on Game Pass. Humankind in 12 minutes. You don't have to buy that. We already know Ariana Spirits, Greek Memories of Azure, and Road 96 are not going to be full price games. Road 96, I think, is probably $20. Greek Memories of Azure is probably around $30. And Ariana Spirits is probably also around like $20. And then you're only having to spend $30 on Ghost of Tsushima. So luckily, none of those are full price. Like, you can walk away with all six of these games, most likely, as long as you have a subscription to Game Pass for less than $100.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think that's doable.
Correct. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to play the two games that were going to be on Game Pass, you would be better off just taking the money and getting yourself Game Pass.
Absolutely.
You know, if you didn't have Game Pass.
Absolutely. I mean, and then buying something else. Like
correct.
Greek Memories of Azure, which looks great. Ah, man. But I have to go ahead and do this task of figuring out how these games are going to go. And honestly, man, I really feel like all these games could score well this week. I really do. But
holy shit. Yeah. Fuck. I forgot. I have to guess all this.
Open Critic guesses. I know. Let's see. I'm going to go with an 83 for Road 96. I'm going to go with an 85 for Greek Memories of Azure. I'm going to go with an... Oh, man. I'm going to go with an 81 for Humankind, though I do think that could be closer to a 90. I'm going to go with 84 for 12 minutes. I'm going to go with 76 for Arietta of Spirits. And I'm going to go with an 86 for Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. While Dan goes ahead and gets his bets figured out, let's jump to a preview of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. Yes, that's right. It is back. Last week on the show, I was solo, but Frank will be back, so make sure you're tuning in. However, we took a look at high score music and results themes. Take a listen. The high score music from Deluxe Pac-Man 1 and 2. This is actually from an Amiga version, and I get some very emotional vibes from this track. I don't know why. It makes me wonder, as we talked about in our previous Amiga episodes that Frank and I have done, because this track does sound so familiar. And like I said, it is kind of eliciting these sad, emotional, I don't know, overtones from me. I wonder if this is based on an actual piece of music, like so many of the Amiga soundtracks were. So, I don't know. I really don't know, but I really dig this actual track here from Deluxe Pac-Man 1 and 2. Well done. Well done to the composer who, unfortunately, we don't know who that is. We don't even know when this released. Like, there was not a ton of information on this, so that is unfortunate. Be sure to catch brand new episodes of BG Mania, a video game music podcast, every Wednesday on whichever platform you use to get your podcasts.
Okay. Well, because I can see myself playing all of these games, I will make sure that I...
Oh, you're going to bet on all of them again.
I'm going to bet on all of them. I'm going to try to redeem myself from the last epic fail.
All right. Hopefully, as long as you get one right, then you'll be okay. Because last time you didn't get any of them right.
That's so crazy. Damn. Okay, so Road 96, we're going to do, let's do six under.
Okay.
For Greek Memories of Azure, let's do six dead on.
Okay.
For Humankind, six over.
Okay, that's smart. Like I said, I really do think that could probably come in higher.
Man, 12 minutes, let's do six dead on.
Got it.
Arietta, is that how we say that?
Yeah.
of spirits. I'm gonna do six over.
Okay, I like it.
And the director's cut of Ghost of Tsushima, let's do six over.
Okay, I like it. I think this could be a very strong week. Again, that's not even all the games coming out.
Make sure, if you're not
checking out the new release roulette, the full version over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/LevelDownGames, make sure you go watch that. But Dan, you get the pick of the week this week of these six.
God.
What are you going with?
I don't know. I almost feel like I should go with Greek Memories of Azure because that's a game that we all liked.
That's the right choice.
So I think that's where we're going. Yeah.
That's the right choice. Like, that's the game that deserves it most out of all these. The fact that it did so well in Thunderdome, I'm so glad that you chose that. But again, you could make a case for any of these six games to be the pick of the week. Like, this is a very strong week. And it's not even like games that are outside of Ghost of Tsushima. They're not like...
Yeah, it's not like AAA games.
Right, yeah. It's not like massive, big-name games. It's just all games that look super fucking awesome to play. So, yeah. I'm really excited. But yeah, your pick of the week this week is Greek Memories of Azure. All right, Dan. Well, we've talked about it a few times now throughout the course of the podcast episode. There was, last week, an ID at Xbox Twitch Gaming Showcase. It was like 2.5, 3 hours. I don't know why. They're so long when they do these Twitch gaming things. They're so boring. They show a little collection of trailers, and then they'll talk for 20 plus minutes to the host, to the developers. Nothing ever exciting is really ever said outside of maybe like a few small tidbits, like we found out because they were talking to Concerned Ape, the dude that did Stardew Valley. Like, we found out that Stardew was going to be coming to Game Pass through that interview. But usually it's not a ton of like information that we ever get out of this thing. So for my reaction video that I put on the YouTube channel, I condensed it into just like the trailers and the main portions, which is so much easier to watch. And even still, that was like almost 40 minutes of like a almost 3.5 hour presentation. So I don't know why it's so long. That's why I didn't do it live, because I would sit there bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
The last one before this was like 4 hours long. It's so stupid.
Yeah. They really it's hard to keep people like for 4 hours. That's insane.
Yeah. But either way, we did get some really cool things showcased during this showcase here, this ID at Xbox thing. The one that I do want to talk about that really stuck out to me was Ollie World. They really went in depth. That's the one that it's sort of like that. It's not really open world skateboarding, but like it's got that like 2D feel to it a little bit. We've seen it a few times now, but they really went in depth with the customization of the game and ways that you're able to make your individual skater look. And I was not like ready for just how in depth you could actually create. Like, it's like, remember how in depth Tony Hawk was with the remakes more recently, and how many things you could customize and all that kind of, it's like that. So like, it's really
that's
cool.
That's where they need to be.
Yeah. Just on like on a much, I guess, smaller scale. So I thought that was really cool. They also announced this new, speaking of Stardew Valley and how it's coming to Game Pass later this year, they also announced this new like mech farming game called Lightyear Frontier, where you're this character who is walking around or driving this mech, and it's an open world farming, crafting type of a game, just with mechs. And it looks like actually a lot of fun, like a different kind of take on that farming simulator genre. But I think it could work. Like, it's something that I'm definitely going to keep on my radar and that I'm interested in. So I know you're kind of into that kind of stuff, too.
I am. And I have tried so hard to try to find a game. There was a game that I played in the 90s. My buddy had it from down the street. It was a mech game, and I really liked it. And for the life of me, I don't know the name of it. I don't even know what to try to Google to find what it is.
Was it on the Super Nintendo?
No, it was on PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
that I wouldn't know.
And I enjoyed the hell out of it. So, no, this game definitely has me intrigued. I've added it to my Steam wish list. You're right. It's a little bit of a change on what is going on. But to be able to maybe, like, you know, design your mech and customize it. It's really cool. So I'm definitely, this was out of this showcase, this is one that's definitely like, I'm very interested in.
The other game, well, there's two more games that I want to mention here before we move on to the Nintendo Indie World Showcase. I was glad to see more on The Wandering Village. This was, you know, initially only announced for PC. Now we know it's coming to Xbox as well. So now I can safely pick this up on the Xbox Series and not have to play it on PC. But this is the one where you're like making a city and a town on the back of a wandering giant turtle. That's kind of like walking around.
Yep.
And it reminds me, you know, we talked about the rumors of Xenoblade Chronicles 3 coming next year. It reminds me a lot of the way like the towns and the villages are in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Yeah, no, I'm super excited to see the Wandering Village here because, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this works. And in this trailer, now we actually saw a dead being. Like, there off to the side as it was walking, there was one of these turtles or beasts or whatever, and it was, like, dead. And you could tell that the village that was on it was, like, withered away. So clearly, there's more going on to here than just being a city-building simulator. I'm really excited to find out more about this. I can't wait to play it when it comes out. And then the other game that I want to briefly mention here before we move on is RPG Time, The Legend of Wright. I'm so glad we finally saw more on this. It's coming out this winter. This is the one, if you remember, Dan, in the showcase and all the prior showcases that it's been in, it looks like a sketchbook. It's in like an actual notebook, and the game itself is all like pencil lines. And as you do things, like the page flips, and like it just looks like somebody is drawing the game as you go.
No, I do remember that. It's a very interesting...
Right. It's super, like, it's not been done before.
Correct.
To my knowledge, I mean, obviously, hand-drawn stuff is not unusual anymore in video gaming landscape. Like, it happens all the time. But to see it like this, and to see it, like, actually being drawn in front of you as it goes, I'm really looking forward to this. And I hope it's on Game Pass, because it's always been in Xbox showcases. I really hope this ends up being in Game Pass.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
There was a lot of other things that were highlighted during the Twitch Gaming ID at Xbox Showcase. A lot of other indie titles like Planet of Lana, Loot River, Library of Ruina, Lab Rat, games that we've talked about before on the show. But those were the main ones that I wanted to mention. Now, moving on over to the Indie World Showcase that Nintendo had last Wednesday. This was really exciting to me. I think I'm pretty excited for several of the things we got to see. We got a quick update at the beginning of Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. This is basically a spiritual successor almost to Jet Set Radio or Jet Grind Radio, whatever you're used to calling it. It's known by both names, but it's this game where you're just, you know, going around doing graffiti on a skateboard, grinding, painting, and building up combos just like Jet Set Radio was. And it's got the same art style and the same look and the same feel. It looks so rad. And I had forgot the game, that it even existed. It was announced like, I want to say last year maybe, but this is the first time we've seen it kind of fully since then. And I'm so glad that it's looking as good as it does. Like, yeah, it just looks incredible.
It does. And that's, like you said, playing off the predecessors. I think I could have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah. We had a lot of shadow drops that happened during this Indie World Showcase. Necro Barista Final Pour came out the same day. There was a trailer for that. Garden Story came out the same day. There was a trailer for that. Boyfriend Dungeon came out that day. All shadow drops. None of these were announced. They just, you know, available today. Download it now. Axiom Verge 2, which, you know, we all were kind of anticipating because of our love of Metroidvanias and Kyle's close personal friendship with the developer of the game. You know, it's made by one dude, Tom Happ, and all the money goes to his special needs kid that he makes from, you know, building his video games. So if you've not played Axiom Verge, if you've not picked up Axiom Verge 2 yet, I highly recommend you do so just to help out a really awesome family and a really cool dude that makes great games. But Yeah, there were so many. I think there was even another Islanders, the console edition, that game that Kyle streamed back on Twitch, that simplistic city building game. That was also another shadow drop that happened during this Indie World Showcase. So there's so many crazy things that were announced and, you know, available later today, which I mean, I love when they do that. But I wasn't anticipating five fucking shadow drops.
Yeah.
And all things that I'm interested in, too. So that also made it really exciting. There was a new Shovel Knight that was kind of talked about, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. I don't know if this was announced before or not. I know there's something called Shovel Knight Dig kind of coming soon that was already previously announced, but I don't know that Pocket Dungeon was announced. This is more like a puzzle type adventure, puzzle night game or Shovel Knight game. And I'm looking forward to this. This looks really cool. Like kind of, you know, you think like, oh man, Candy Crush or, you know, something like that where you're matching things and clearing the board. It reminds me of that. So it's coming to the Switch. I don't think exclusively, but probably timed later this holiday. It should be a lot of fun. It really should be. And then to end the Indie World Showcase, we got our release date announcement and a good in-depth look at the next Chucklefish published game. It's this beautiful pixel art looking post-apocalyptic, reminds me a lot of Earthbound and things like that. But it's called Eastward, and it's coming out on September 16th. So we are about a month away from that. And Dan, I can see you getting sucked into that game big time.
100%.
Like I know me, you and Kyle are all really looking forward to that. So, you know, we weren't sure when we would see Eastbound again. I'm excited that we finally found out it's coming in less than a month. And yeah, when it does, I know I'm going to be putting a lot of time into it. So
yeah, I will definitely be picking this up day one and probably streaming it.
If you missed any of the reaction videos that we did last week for either the ID at Xbox Twitch Gaming Showcase or this Nintendo Indie World Showcase, make sure you head on over to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/leveldowngames. You can catch my reactions there. And remember, we've got that Pokemon Presents reaction tomorrow, and then next week we've got all those Gamescom reactions. So it's a fun time for
starting
video games.
Starting to pick up a little bit.
Yeah, fun time. You know, we've had a little slow time since E3. The EA thing that was last month wasn't all that exciting, so we really haven't had any fun reactionary type stuff to do since E3 season. We're about to change all that, and I'm excited, so...
Yeah,
make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're tuned in over on our YouTube channel.
Getting into that holiday push and all that shit.
I know. We gotta find out what Sony's gonna have. Like,
yeah, we need to come up with something.
We need a holiday state of play from Sony to figure out what the fuck we're gonna be playing this holiday season on the PS5.
PS5 just collecting dust.
Right now, it's looking like a big fat nothing. So we'll have to wait and see. But that music right there, as we come to the close of the podcast, you know what it's time for, a little kickstart my heart. And we have an interesting little game here. I like the way this looks. It could be a lot of fun. It's a narrative heavy adventure game with a bit of role playing in it where you get to study magic in Transylvania. And guess what? The game is actually made in Transylvania. This team is based at Targu Mureș, Romania, which I think is like either right outside or right in Transylvania. So that's actually pretty fucking sick. And if you look at just like the art style and the GIFs and that kind of stuff for this game, it sort of has like that 90s point and click style feel to it, which, you know, I always really like. Frank always really likes. I know you're into those kind of games too. So let's talk about it. It's finally summer. You're 18. You've just graduated high school, and the road ahead is as blurry as it is open. All your friends have decided what colleges and universities they'll be attending, but you, well, you'd rather think it over while playing video games. Suddenly, a letter from your great aunt Domnica arrives. She lives in Transylvania, and she's inviting you over for the summer. Seems like a perfect way to clear your head and decide what it is you want to become in life. But what if, once you've arrived, you discover that both you and your great aunt come from a long line of witches, and you are offered the possibility to enroll in the Transylvanian Institute for Magic? A summer in dark and storied Transylvania, and a chance to become a near mage. I don't even think I said the name of the game. The name of the game is Near Mage. That's the name of the game. I usually say the name at the beginning, and I didn't do that this time. So, looking at the key features of the game, it says study spellcrafting in the Transylvanian Institute for Magic as a mage in training. Experience a deep and engaging story that plays like an adventure game. Craft your own spell inventory, use it with different results in every playthrough. Dozens of unique characters in and around the Institute for Magic. Your spells change their lives for better or worse. Vampires. Oh, man, this is going to be tough. Vampires, Prickle-Lich, Morori, Strigoi, Ghouls, Shtima, and more mythical Romanian creatures to interact with. I don't know what half of those are, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Over 80 lushly rendered environments, hand-painted in glorious 4K resolution. Traditionally animated frame by frame, darkly colorful atmosphere bolstered by meticulous on-location research of myths and folklore, rich cinematic orchestral score recorded with live instruments, a fully voiced cast by professional voice actors, dozens of itemized outfits and hairstyles to customize your main character, switch from pointing and clicking with your mouse to direct control via gamepad at any time on the fly. And, as we said, it's a game about Transylvania made by actual Transylvanians. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It says Near Mage is coming to Steam on PC and Linux. And stretch goals will be to get ports on the Nintendo Switch, PS4,
well,
5,
they've
whatever.
Already hit that. If they hit 85,000 US, they haven't updated it on the stretch goal.
Okay,
because
they are at 85,351,
yeah, Xbox,
as a time of recording.
Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch at 85,000, so they hit that.
So they hit it, yeah. So, I mean, they're absolutely crushing their goals right now. This game is on fire. I mean, it's been on Kickstarter for about 12 days. They were looking for just shy of $30,000 US. They're at, like you said, 85,000. So stretch goals. We already got the Linux port taken care of. We got the soundtrack with live instruments. We got three more locations added. We've got new features such as roaming NPCs, five more locations inside the Institute to explore, a fully voice acted cast, and a dorm room that you might get to direct or decorate maybe, plus three more locations, optional side quests, what looks like a new character, new localizations, the port that you just mentioned, and at 90,000, which I have to assume we're going to hit pretty easily, we're going to get more clothes and hairstyles, plus a Mac port, and then at 100,000, if we get to that, it says you will be able to get a pet, which would be kind of nice as well. But looking through more of this campaign here, what do we want to go? Let's see here. Let's try right here. Set in the same universe as this team's previous Kickstarter campaign, Gibeous, a Cthulhu adventure, Near Mage is an invitation to explore the mythical land of Transylvania, study magic in an institute teeming with ghouls, all those creatures we already mentioned earlier, and carve out your own destiny. It says, is this a sequel to Gibeous? Yes and no. It's more of an expansion of the Ketiverse, which I guess is the universe that they are creating out of this little thing here. And I think that's kind of cool. As you go on, it talks about how the team, because this is made in Transylvania by Transylvanians, they want to give it an aura of actual authenticity. So they're diving deep into the lore, the legends, the superstitions that surround Transylvania. And just based off of like some of the pictures that they've included and, you know, some of their inspiration, like it says, you will get to travel freely between three main hubs, the real life town of, I guess that's a Sigasoria. I don't know how you say the S with that thing on the bottom of it, but
yeah,
you can look and see like they have a picture of what it looks like in real life and then what it looks like in game. And it's pretty fucking spot on.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy, like how authentic they're really getting with this.
And I love like the cartoon painted feel, this 90s point and click type of a thing. This just looks fucking rad, dude. I am very into this. I know Frank is going to instantly pledge as soon as he hears this and looks into this game. This looks amazing. And it looks like the cheapest way to get a game actually is not that bad. $21 US will get you a Steam copy of the game and on or console if the stretch goal was met. So whatever platform you want the game on, you can get it. Plus access to Kickstarter updates and wallpapers. And that's not too shabby for $21.
No, I tell you, like, I just did some quick numbers. You know, they've pledged $85,000 with 1,400 pledgers. That's about an average of $60 a pledge, which I think is pretty damn amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy when you actually look at the averages for some of these Kickstarters because of, like, you know, the super expensive tiers that people jump in at and stuff. Like, you know, there's a $295 tier that has 29 backers. There's a $500 tier that has two backers.
Wow.
There was a $600 tier that's no longer available that had 10 backers.
Holy
and a $1,000 tier that's no longer available that had one backer, and a $1,500 tier that has one backer, a $2,000 tier that had three backers. Like,
what?
The average gets drived up by these, you know, crazy. But for $2,000, you get to add your own character to the game, a grand patron Discord role, which you better fucking be the moderator of that Discord at that point, or the owner.
Yeah, I mean, geez, yeah.
A big box physical edition T-shirt, physical hardcover art book, physical map, art print, your picture in the yearbook of the game.
I mean, I guess you're getting a lot of shit, yeah, though. Some of these Kickstarters you don't. You. What?
A high-res painting of yourself, like, the way that it's done in the game. Like,
oh my God.
Three keys, three digital arts out. Like, it's so cool. Like, you just get so much stuff. So, for $2,000, but I could never afford to do something like that. But kudos to those that did to help get this game funded. Like we said, it's already been funded. Still has 18 days to go as a time of recording. And I really, really want to play this game when it comes out. They're saying, what are they targeting? February of 2023 is currently the target. Oof. So, a little less than 2 years away.
Man, that's rough, though.
It is, but when you think about it, we are only months away from 2022.
Yeah, true. The time does go by fast.
And this is the beginning of 2023, so this is
Q1. I mean, the crazy thing is like, so I'm having a child, so it makes, like, my child will be over a year old when that game comes out. Like, that's crazy.
Yep, time flies, man.
Man, you
ain't
kidding.
Time is not a friend to anybody, and it sucks that as we get older, it feels like it moves faster and faster. Like, yeah. When you were kids and when you didn't have a goddamn care in the world.
I can't wait to be an adult. I can't wait. And now you're like, fuck,
time seems like it just fucking crawled back then. Like, I remember summer vacations feeling like they lasted 9 months.
Yeah.
But now it feels like this fucking year just started. We're already halfway through August. I'm still trying to figure out everything that happened last year in 2020. Like, it just, time sucks. And I feel like our 30s are going to waste because, you know, with the pandemic, you can't really go out there and have fun and do things like we used to do. So all you can do is play video games. Like, it sucks. Absolutely sucks. But it's good for us because we like video games. But still.
Yeah.
I miss the real world at times.
Sometimes you got to get out of your house and, you know, feel
go
the fresh air.
Go to an AEW show at the Bojangles Coliseum. Something like
Bojangles.
That.
Bojangles. Yeah.
They have good chicken, apparently. I've never had their chicken, though.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance.
Well, there's no Bojangles up here.
I know.
Like, the next time that I'm in an area with a Bojangles, I got to make sure to get some fucking chicken.
Get a Cajun filet chicken biscuit. You will not be disappointed.
Cajun is my go-to dry rub on all chicken.
Oh, then you will love that, dude. Yep, and then get the fries with the Cajun seasoning on them.
I either at B-Dubs or, like, because we have a bunch of local wing places around us, I usually, because I don't do wet sauces. And if I do, it's usually, like, mango habanero or something like that. Like, I do like spicy. Ooh. But I don't do wet sauces that often. And when I do a wet sauce, it's always on the side and I dip. I never want my wings covered.
No, that makes sense because it's fucking messy.
It is messy. And I have a thing that, like, I don't like my hands messy when I eat. I never have. So if I do, like, if I'm out with friends or something and I do eat wings at B-Dubs and I do get them covered, because I used to. Like, I used to get them smothered in, like, Asian Zing or mango habanero or something like that. I only eat with one hand. I'll just eat with my right hand, my dominant hand.
Huh,
and I never touch anything with my left hand except for, like, my drink or things like that. So when I'm eating wings, I always just use my right hand so that I always have a clean hand to touch something, because I just hate how sauce feels on my fingers.
Oh, yeah, that's the hard thing. Like, that's kind of the nice thing about not having this beard is I don't get all that.
You don't
get
all that shit in it.
Wings
right.
Or ribs, you don't get all the fucking sauce all over it.
Right. So I prefer dry rubs. Like, I anytime that I can get a dry rub, I usually always do. And I tend to gravitate toward Cajun and Smokehouse. Those are my two go-tos.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a good Smokehouse dude, yeah.
Yeah, so Cajun, like, you know, if that's what they're kind of based on, I'm excited to try them. Hopefully I can get fucking down in that area. It's been a minute since I've been to North Carolina. Jessica and I were down there, like, 6 or so years ago to get my birth certificate because I was born in Winston-Salem. So I had to go down there to get a copy of my birth certificate, you know, because I needed it kind of on the fly. And if I would have requested it, it would have taken weeks to get.
Whereas
if I just go to the government place, I was able to get it the same day. So we took a weekend trip down there, and I didn't even think to try Bojangles when I was down there. So I do need to make it a trip to get back down there. But that's outside the scope of what we're talking about here. Go check this game out. Kickstarter.com. The name of the game is Near Mage. Make sure you pledge to it. Help it out. Let's see if we can get to that 100,000. I want a goddamn pet in this game.
I said for a reminder, so I'll wait till a few days and then I'll probably get it.
Yeah, but this is for $21. Like I said, I can't imagine this game, being anything but an incredible amount of fun. So again, check it out. Kickstarter.com. The name of the game is Near Mage. But Dan, that's going to bring us to the close of the show this week. And you, sir, get to deliver those final words.
Well, I'm not prepped for this.
But that's okay.
No, I never am. I'm just going to say it would be really cool if everybody just went over to my YouTube channel and just dropped a sub there.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good final words because you need to get up to 100 subscribers. So that way you can get your youtube.com/crazed11.
So go over to my YouTube, I guess, because I don't have a specific. Yeah. So just.
What they could do is go to youtube.com/leveldowngames. And if you're on my channel, your channel is one of the highlighted channels, I think, for like if you scroll down to the bottom under or maybe I don't have it set up.
No, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, well, then shit.
And I have it set up that way, but I don't have it shared. I will do that now, though. So that way I'm doing it now. So that way it's on there. I'm doing it live.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. You like the Our Friends list?
Yeah, that
one. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So I am doing that now, and I just put you at the top, because for some reason it only shows 5. I didn't realize that, and I just had everyone listed.
No, that's fine. I didn't even know you could do that. So
yeah, so if you need a quick way to find you, you can go to youtube.com/leveldowngames, scroll down to the bottom, Our Friends, you're right there on the top.
Cool, appreciate it. Yeah, go check that out.
Otherwise, yeah, subscribe to Dan. But those are your final words, not mine.
So. Yes. Thank you.
This episode of the Level Down Games podcast has been brought to you by leveldowngames.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check out youtube.com/leveldowngames and make sure you subscribe with notifications on, as well as twitch.tv/leveldowngames, again, with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for the episode. Yeah.